passengers only. There is no stopping in the red zone.
The white zone is for immediate loading and unloading of passengers only. There is no stopping in the red zone.
The white zone is for immediate loading and unloading of passengers only. There is no stopping in the red zone.
The white zone is for immediate loading and unloading of passengers. All right.
Well, Richard found that from the movie Airplane, and we were following up on the painted white curbs up from near the Hot Springs Road trail. Unfortunately, today's guest is not with Public Works, so she can't talk about what the white zone means, what white curbs. Jesse Steele is a planner in the Planning and Development Department, long-range planning division of the County of Santa Barbara. She was on a couple of years ago to talk about accessory dwelling units, and she's also going to talk about her latest novel. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Jesse Steele.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I keep confusing you with Danielle Steele, the author, and you still have not written anything?
Still have not come out with a awesome novel, no.
All right. Well, please give us the exclusive announcement when you do. We would like to hear about that. So you were on, again, Jesse Steele's with the county. So there's the City of Santa Barbara, City of Goleta, City of Carpinteria, and the county. And you were on, and then what's coming now is some big changes and going before the Board of Supervisors towards the end of April 2021?
We're actually headed to the board on May 18th for the adoption of our proposed ADU and junior ADU ordinance amendment.
Okay. Now, when you were on last time, there were three different types of categories. And so you spent a long time, what would you say, molding, editing the state laws? I mean, because there's a lot of talk about local municipalities not wanting to comply and finding ways to not comply. How would you describe the process that you went through?
Well, the county spent a considerable amount of time since late 2019, in fact, up until now, analyzing the state legislation, developing a whole new interim permitting process for ADUs and junior ADUs, and then also drafting the proposed zoning ordinance amendments that are compliant with state law. And state law now distinguishes between two categories of ADUs, those that are exempt from local development standards and those that are subject to local development standards. So we call them exempt and non-exempt ADUs for short. But that was what we did. We reformatted our zoning ordinances to identify the standards that apply to both of those types of ADUs.
Well, that sounds huge. And will make a big difference for someone who's listening and was thinking about either building an ADU or converting something or taking something that's already been converted and and making it an ADU. So that's very big. And so that's under, would exempt and non-exempt be under ADU and junior ADU?
The exempt and non-exempt applies just to ADUs. We can apply certain local development standards to the non-exempt ADUs, depending on the zone and, how big the ADU is, amongst other things. And then for the exempt category of ADUs, state law is very prescriptive as to the development standards that the county can apply. And so our zoning ordinances reflect that. And we also have a separate set of standards for junior ADUs that comply with state law.
My guess is Jesse Steele, planner, long-range planning division, County Santa Barbara. And we should have started out with defining what an ADU is for those listeners who, why don't you start there?
Sure. Well, an ADU, put simply, is an attached or detached residential dwelling unit that has complete independent living facilities for one or more persons. And they're located on a lot with a single family dwelling or a multifamily dwelling. And then a junior ADU is a residential dwelling unit that is no more than 500 square feet in size. It's contained entirely within an existing single-family dwelling, and it can either share a bathroom with the single-family dwelling or have its own.
So doesn't have to be completely independent.
Right. The junior ADU is a bit, it can have its own, you know, completely separate facilities like an ADU, but the nice thing is they would be having, you know, potentially sharing a bathroom, and it can have a kitchenette instead of a full kitchen. It's easier for folks to convert an existing bedroom in their house, for example, into a junior ADU than into an ADU.
But my question is this, who would you share a bathroom with?
Only my boyfriend and only sometimes.
You know, some of the most successful marriages, I see some big Montecito estates, and I love seeing when you have two bathrooms in the primary bedroom.
Oh, that's the dream.
No matter how much you love your boyfriend, would love a, you know, till they put that in the wedding vows, till death do us part in separate bathrooms. So that's the junior. Okay, so it has to be under the same roof.
Mm-hmm.
And it can apply to income property, multifamily.
Yes, you can have an ADU on a lot.
I'm talking about a junior. I'm sorry, junior ADU.
Oh, junior ADUs are only allowed as a conversion within an existing single-family dwelling.
Right. So under the same roof, not detached, and not in multifamily, just single-family. That's a junior ADU.
Oh. Yes, that's correct.
Under 500 square feet. Mm-hmm. So if you, let's say you had something that's 510 square feet, no good?
We would encourage the applicant to design the project in such a way that that could become an ADU. Because if it's over the 500 square foot threshold, then yeah, it doesn't count as a junior ADU.
And if someone was going to design something and they could make it 495 square feet or 550 square feet, what do you think their benefit would be? Is there a benefit to getting the junior ADU if it happens to be single family and under the same roof? Is it easier? Is it less expensive? Is there any advantage?
Junior ADUs do tend to be a little bit less expensive as far as conversions go, simply because, again, they don't have to have their own bathroom, but they can. And then the kitchen requirements are easier to accommodate than an ADU. So, yeah, most people, what they do is they'll either convert their garage or perhaps a master bedroom into a junior ADU, and it's easier and cheaper potentially than doing it for an ADU.
Okay, because when you do an ADU, you have to be sure you have a full kitchen and a full separate bathroom.
Correct, yes.
Okay. Very good. ADU, junior ADU. So the real crux of it is interesting is the exempt and non-exempt. Talk about that.
Yeah, so there are four types of ADUs that state law says are exempt from local development standards. As long as they are permitted on lots that are located within residential or mixed-use zones. And again, these types of ADUs have a short but very prescriptive list of development standards per state law that they have to comply with, and also have to comply with front setbacks of the applicable zone. But the nice thing is if a proposed ADU does not meet the criteria for one of the four types of exempt ADUs that are identified in state law, then you can potentially still have an ADU on a lot, but it will be subject to local development standards. And that's where our proposed zoning ordinance amendments come in, and they contain a variety of standards for, like, height, size, setbacks, things like that that would apply to the ADU.
But maybe not something like parking, off-street parking?
Only certain types of non-exempt detached ADUs have parking requirements, which is really nice. That's a shift from our previous zoning ordinances and previous state laws.
It's, you know, it's a battle. It's municipalities want to comply with state law. They want to maintain the character of neighborhoods. It's, you know, and what's coming, this is out of your bailiwick, I'm sure, but there's proposals up in Sacramento about allowing any single family home to be able to convert to four units. Have you heard about that?
Oh, I did hear about that during the last legislative session. I think something similar is weaving its way through the legislature right now.
Boy, that would be insane. My guest is not talking about that. Jesse Steele, planner in the Planning Development Long Range Planning Division, County of Santa Barbara. So, exempt, non-exempt, and you said under exempt, there are four types. What are those types?
Well, let's see. If you have a lot with a single-family dwelling on it, you can either have one EDU, attached EDU conversion within the single-family dwelling, or you could potentially have one 800-square-foot detached ADU. So those are the two single-family dwelling lot types.
And if it's and attached, what's the square footage?
For the attached, there is not a square footage limit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, you could keep the main house as one bedroom, and then the whole 2,000 square feet could be your ADU. I don't see why they do that, but so that's interesting. So
they figured you could,
but they figured if it's attached, it's going to be within the same footprint, so they're not as concerned about the square foot. So you could do a detached 800 square foot unit, and that's under the exempt category.
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
And then also under the exempt category of ADUs, on a lot with a multifamily dwelling, so think an apartment building or even a duplex, you could potentially have either two detached ADUs that don't have a size limit but have height and setback requirements, or you can do ADU conversions within the existing multifamily dwelling or the structures, accessory structures associated with a multifamily dwelling.
And again, if it's within attached, then there's no size limit?
No size limit. They're just, confined by the walls of the existing structures that are being converted.
Okay, so the big difference, multifamily, you can have two detached, no size limit, but you have height and setback requirements, and then or convert within. Okay, so that's number two of the four types of exemptions?
So there are the two types that are allowed on lots with single-family dwellings, either attached or detached, and the two types that are allowed on lots with multifamily dwellings, either attached or detached.
Okay.
So that would be the four.
Those are the four. Okay. I wrote it down as one and two, but I got you now. So, there's two in each one, right? So single-family, attached. So, and when you say exempt from local development standards, what are some of the local development standards that you're exempt from in a typical case?
That's a good question, and the answer is pretty much everything. For the exempt category of ADUs, state law provides the standards for height, setback, location, and the type of ADU, and those are the only standards we can apply. So our local height, parking, size restrictions do not apply to the exempt category of ADUs.
Very interesting. Are there, now, of course, there's so many different categories, it's tough for you to give an estimate of time frame and cost, but I think maybe the most common that people are listening, a single family, would either be an attached or a detached unit. Those two types are exempt. Would they be similar? Now, of course, if you're going to build one, of course, you have to build it. But in terms of the process, is the timing process for approval similar in those two? And the cost, are fees? What are fees?
Those are good questions, too. So for both exempt and non-exempt ADUs, the county must process ADU applications within 60 days of receipt of a complete application. And then as far as the fees go, a state law that became effective on January 1st of 2020 actually reduced and in some cases waived the development impact fees for ADUs, which is really nice. So now if you have an ADU that is less than 750 square feet, you don't have to pay development impact fees. And if you have an ADU that's larger than 750 square feet, then you do have fees that apply, but they are less than what they used to be.
Interesting. What about like sewer hookup fees? If you already have something that's been legally converted as habitable space, but not as an ADU, and then you want to convert it to an ADU, do you have to get a separate sewer hookup?
In some cases, it depends. With the water and sewer hookups, you do still have to provide water and sewer for the ADU or junior ADU, of course. But in some cases, you're not required to have a new separate meter for the ADU.
Right. But particularly if something was built and permitted as habitable space, but not as a a secondary dwelling unit. So it has permits for bathroom, kitchen, laundry, and then you can go in to convert it. You're saying a separate water meter and a separate sewer hookup is definitely not required, or may not be required?
It may not be required. I believe the answer to that just depends on the size of the existing water system and whether or not it can accommodate an additional dwelling unit on the property. And then there will always have to be sewer hookups. But I think in some cases there's different fees that would apply. You may not always have to pay for a separate fee for that.
Right. Getting into the minutia details with Jesse Steele, planner, Long-Range Planning Division, County of Santa Barbara. And so that's some big news, and it's coming May 18th, 2021, proposals to the Board of Supervisors. And something like this, do you anticipate it's going to be approved because staff has worked and they already kind of, it's not going to be some big surprise for them to see, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Staff has been working diligently over the past year and a half to draft these zoning ordinances and ensure that they're compliant with state law and that they are really accessible and understandable for all readers. And the county recently took the proposed zoning ordinance amendments to the Montecito Planning Commission and County Planning Commission for review. And we got through each of those in one hearing, which was fantastic. So that's what we're hoping for with the Board of Supervisors as well. We're hoping that they'll look at these, they'll see, you know, our hands are a little bit tied because of the restrictions per state law, but we're compliant, and then hopefully adopt them and move forward.
Very nice. Last time you were on, we talked about, or one question I had written down, a zoning department versus the building department, and there'd be different requirements. But with this new proposal that you're putting to the Board of Supervisors May 18th, particularly under the exempt category, does that mean that zoning and building departments, it doesn't come into play?
So an applicant will always need to have a permit for an ADU or junior ADU, but with the change in the permit processing time frame that recently occurred with state law, our permitting time frame was reduced from 120 days to just 60 days. Mm-hmm. So in early 2020, the county transitioned to a building permit only permitting process for ADUs and junior ADUs that are located within the inland area. So you no longer have to get a planning permit or exemption for ADUs. You just have to get your building permit if you're in the inland area. For the coastal zone, you still have to get a coastal development permit and building permit. But we're still processing those within the 60 days as well.
Very nice. Very nice. So if the Board of Supervisors approves this on May 18th, and they hit the gavel, May 19th, someone can go out and this would all apply?
Within 30 days after adoption by the Board of Supervisors, the zoning ordinance amendments would go into effect for the inland area of the county. For the coastal zone, it will take a little bit longer because we have to send the coastal zoning ordinance amendment to the state coastal commission for certification.
And so that'll take
a year.
That'll take, you know, I was going to joke and say it would take 4 years. You said it's going to take a year?
It usually takes about a year. So we anticipate the coastal commission would certify the amendment in spring 2022. And then upon certification by the commission, it goes into effect in the coastal zone.
I'm sure someone's listening and thinking, a year? Now, to defend them, maybe they have many municipalities. There's 58 counties. There's a lot of cities. So maybe they're very busy. Is that a backlog? They don't meet that often?
Absolutely. Yeah, the coastal commission meets once per month, and they tackle a ton of projects every month when they do their hearings, but there's just sort of this dance that goes on between the county and the coastal commission. We go back and forth between, you know, the coastal commission proposing standards, us incorporating them to the ordinance, or countering with a different standard. And we just basically have to go back and forth and figure out what we can agree upon as far as amendments to the ordinances. And then once we agree, it goes to the commission for final certification, and then that's when it can go into effect.
So I like your analogy doing a dance with the Coastal Commission, but I think they always lead, don't they?
Yes, they do. Absolutely.
What a bizarre commission. They are, out of the whole country, they have the most power of any commission anywhere. Why can't they meet once a week? What the hell are they doing the other 3 weeks? Don't answer that. I don't want to get you into trouble. My guest, Jesse Steele, a planner in the Long Range Planning Division, County of Santa Barbara. Did we cover everything? Because either we say goodbye and I thank you, or we take a commercial break if there's something that I didn't ask you that you really want to cover, or what do you think? Whatever you say.
I think we covered almost everything.
So you're tired of talking to me, is what you're saying.
I would say if folks are curious about, you know, what exactly the county is proposing, what different standards apply to each category of ADUs, all that information can be found on the county's website, the Planning and Development Department's website for our ADU and Junior ADU ordinance amendments. And then the board letter and the proposed amendments will be available for the May 18th hearing. I think it's available publicly approximately 1 week before the hearing. We'll have all that information out there for everyone to review and comment on.
Jesse Steele, planner, County Santa Barbara, you've been a great guest, very informative. Thanks for letting me throw some jokes your way and be very affable about it. And if you could do me a big favor, could you text or email me the link? And then when I post this on the podcast, RadioRealEstate.com, the link will be there?
Absolutely. I can do that.
Well, Jesse Steele, keep us posted on your novel, and good luck with the Coastal Commission and the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate that.
All right. Great talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So there you have it. That's huge. And now it'll be very interesting to see what the city of Santa Barbara, how they differ. And we did have Rosie Deister. Deister? I don't see an R at the end. With the city of Santa Barbara. And I should send her that interview and see if she would like to comment on it. And we can have a war between the city and the county. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll finally have time to finish up the story of the street names with bits from Dan Walters and streets named after counties of Santa Barbara. And maybe a comment on the youth hostel conversion to interim housing for homeless people. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.
The red zone has always been for loading and unloading. There's never stopping in a white zone.
Don't tell me which zone is for stopping and which zone is for loading.
Listen, Betty, don't start up with your white zone again.